is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on The Shooting Bench. And here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. Halloween. Happy Halloween. You know what? Wait. I forgot to do something here. Stand by.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bells started ringing and chains were rattling loud. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still I made up my mind to stay. And nothing was gonna drive me away. Till I seen something that gave me the creep. It had one big eye and a two big teeth.
Okay, I had to play my one Halloween song there, I forgot. I have never been a real big Halloween fan, but Amy's a big Halloween fan. But I tell you what bothers me, though, is all these people that, which is fine, I mean, they can believe however they want, but the people that constantly going on about how it's a pagan holiday, and maybe it is, you know, I don't care. It's a pagan holiday if you celebrate it as a pagan holiday. It's like any of the rest of them. If you do it just to have fun and everything, who cares? Who really cares? If pagans celebrate it as a pagan holiday, then more power to them. It makes absolutely zero difference to me, one way or the other. If you want to trick-or-treat and put up scary things out in the yard and all this stuff, then get on with it. But I'm not the least bit impressed with these people that continuously gripe about pagan holidays. If you don't like it, don't do it. It's as simple as that. All right, who we got in the chat room here? Let's see. AZ Bound made it in on time tonight. About time, brother. I've been missed you here. Copper's with us, and Maddie Buck and Tink and Mountain Shooter and Nan and NM Glock, Northwest Heavy, Yakima Glock, Tebow. Anonymous or two there. All right. There's something. What did I see Mountain Shooter in there? I think Mountain Shooter's there. Yeah. Mountain Shooter, once upon a time, a long time ago, you had said something about having a hankering for my my 527 and 7.62x39. I could almost be convinced right now to get up off of that because I have something else in mind I cannot justify spending any other money for, but if I could sell something that would cover it, I would do that. And we're going to talk about that other gun in a little bit. So if you're still interested, let me know. If you're not, that's okay. I'll put it on Gun Broker or something. Or any of the rest of you as far as that goes. Hey, Doc, there really was a guy here in Sholo that I heard today that was giving out ammo to his adult friends for Halloween. He's a reloader, I guess, and he's got a quite a stash of ammo, and he was throwing some in a bag. Mountain Shooter, it's not new. It looks new, but it's probably had two to three hundred rounds through it. It hasn't been shot a lot, but it's been shot a little bit. Trigger was a very, very nice trigger on this thing. It's 15 times better than factory. It's got a great trigger on it. So, all right, let's talk first before we get into anything else. Let's talk about what I'm thinking about getting. We was over at some friend's house for dinner the other night, and he had brought this to my attention, you know, a month ago when we were over there, and I'd forgotten about it, and we talked about it this time, and now I remember. So I'm going to strive to get one, but only if I can dump something else that I can stand to get rid of to get it. It is a
let's see, I forgot what the model is, a PC something, PC carbine. And it's, I've always wanted a pistol caliber carbine to go along with the Glock, but I didn't want other magazine, although when Ruger first came out with that 9mm carbine, it was a, you could only get it in, what was it, the P89, something like that, or whatever fit the P89 magazines. And that's fine if you got a P89, but I didn't want to carry additional magazines. Now you, they have, this one apparently has interchangeable magazine wells. Says interchangeable magazine wells for use of common Ruger and Glock magazines. Ships with SR series pistol and Security 9 magazine well installed, and an additional magazine well accepting Glock magazines is included. Ruger American Pistol magazine well is available at shopruger.com. So three different magazines that you can shoot in this. Two of the magazine wells come with the gun. And it's not just a toy. With modern 9mm ammunition out of that long of a barrel, you know, in urban environments, around camp, around the house, this would be a great home defense carbine. And go along with, you can get your Glock 18 magazine, you know, the 32, 33 round magazines to go in this thing. And I have no problem whatsoever charging out in to save the world with the 9mm carbine. I've seen that it still hits pretty dang with authority at 300 yards out of my Glock 34. And so out of this, it's got a 16-inch barrel, 16.12-inch barrel. So just assuming that, you know, all guns are different, but just assume that we're getting the average accepted velocity or loss with per inch of barrel length is somewhere between 35 and 50 feet per second as a general rule, a little more, a little less, depending on the gun. But if we have a 5-inch barrel gun, we're getting 1,250 out of it. If we had 11 more inches out of that, and let's say that was 35 feet per inch, 11 times 35, that's another 385 feet. So we're getting getting right at 1,600 feet a second out of it. And that's plenty. That would do a fine job in within its limitations. You know, it's not a long-range gun, not anything you'd want to go up against a squadron of special forces out at 500 yards or anything like that. But for the average bad guys and punks, thugs, and illegal aliens in town, well, I think it would work fine. They say it takes down easy, quick separation of the barrel and forend. Takedown is as simple as locking the bolt back, verifying the gun is unloaded, pushing a recessed lever, twisting the sub-assemblies, and pulling them apart. So if it's that quick and you don't lose any parts when it comes apart, you know, if nothing falls out, that would be a way to, you know, just make you a make or buy a little pouch of some kind and drop it in a backpack and have it as an additional gun when you go on a, you know, on a fishing trip or camping or whatever. You've got maybe a 308 that you're hunting with and you want something a little more, a little lighter and handier to have around camp or whatever. You make up your own story with it. But that sounds pretty appealing to me. Dead blowback, I'm reading from the Ruger website here, by the way. Dead blow action features a custom tungsten dead blow weight that shortens bolt travel and reduces felt recoil and muzzle rise. Like the 9mm out of a rifle was very violent anyway. Bolt is machined, okay. reversible magazine release and rechargeable, reversible magazine release and reversible charging handle to support ambidextrous use or one-handed control manipulation while maintaining a proper firing grip. Now that is appealing. Cold Hammer Forge chrome moly steel barrel. Heavy contour barrel provides consistent accuracy. Okay, that's good. Ghost ring rear sight, so it's already set up for protected front blade. That's good. Hopefully it's not like that. I forgot what the name of that little carbine was that you could get. It was actually just a barrel and a stock, and you'd take your Glock grip lower and plug it into this little carbine and turn it into a, or plug it into this upper and turn it into a Glock carbine. The only thing I didn't like about that is you had to have a separate gun that you had to disable to make this little carbine work. And they're also pretty weak. They're weak in the middle. If you, it was a neat gun. It shot pretty well. I had one for a while and went out and shot it quite a bit, but there's just too many things looking at the long term for hard use. I just couldn't quite justify it. Plus the fact that it took one of my guns out of commission to operate. So I got rid of it. There was one that, also went with the 1911 lower or frame and you can get it for a 10 millimeter Glock. Let's see, what other features has it got here? Durable glass filled nylon synthetic stock features, sling swivel studs. It's got a small accessory rail up in the front for a light or, some other accessory there. And it's also got a Picatinny rail across the top for scopes and red dots or whatever you want to put on it. Light, crisp trigger. I just find that hard to believe with a Ruger. Minimal over travel, positive reset, utilizing the proven 10/22 trigger components. Okay, that's good. I'm familiar with 10/22 triggers, so we can always take that thing apart and doctor it up. And I've got a couple of 10/22s that have fine triggers on them. Receiver includes Picatinny rail Type 3 hard coat anodized for maximum durability. Also includes one SR series pistol magazine and hex wrenches for rear side adjustment, butt pad, spacer. Alright. Let's see. Older Glock magazines that feature only one magazine latch slot may still be used with the PC carbine, but the magazine release must remain on the left side of the rifle. Okay, that's not a big deal either. Okay, well, that's what I'm looking at getting right there. So it's a mountain shooter. It is kind of like the Camp Carbine, but it's a upgraded version of it. And the Camp Carbine was a neat little gun. I liked it, but I wanted something with Glock magazine, and I've been waiting all this time hoping the Glock would come out with something like that. And as of yet, they haven't. So Ruger beat them to it. So Ruger gets the vote here for the.
Now, you know, if you look at even in a hostile environment, 9mm carbines, 9mm subguns and stuff have been used for over 100 years. There's no reason in the world, especially with modern ammunition, that these can't do everything that they've done for the last 100 years and more. And, you know, they didn't have interchangeable magazines before. They had what would almost be considered, not really, but almost considered substandard ammo compared to what we have now. They did have hotter submachine gun ammo, but they didn't have nearly the quality and style and effectiveness of hollow points then that they do now. The technology just wasn't there. But with these new ones, this new ammo, I think this is a... I think this bears serious looking at here. So I have seriously looked at it, and I'm seriously planning on getting one if I can get rid of something else to justify getting it. I'm starting to get back into what I said I wasn't going to do again, and getting more guns than I really need when the poop hits the fan. And the poop's going to hit the fan here in about a week, so I guess I better not get too carried away.
Anyway, let's see here. Yeah, copper, that's what I'm thinking. And that, from looks of this, let me get back over here and scroll up here to the top. This is a, it's got a little, I don't know if that's a recoil pad or just a, just a kind of a soft rubber skid pad kind of. It doesn't look like it needs a recoil pad. But this is a good rugged looking little gun. It's got a fluted barrel. Both sights are on the barrel, not one on the receiver and one on the barrel, which leaves the receiver completely open for a very low mounted scope. It looks like the rear sight might accidentally fold down a la 10/22. If it does, fine. If it don't, that's fine too, because I would probably put a little two power scope or something on it. But, it's sleek, doesn't have any, anything sticking out of it that looks like it's something. Let me see. Let me run these around here. No, that rear sight does not fold. So, and I'm okay with that because it always used to tick me off on 10/22s. I changed them. I don't have them anymore. But, tick me off with the 10/22s when you brush up against something, it folds the sight down, you throw it up and get ready to shoot and sight's gone. And they were also very fragile. They broke. We used to keep, a dozen or more of them at the shop, all we replaced them with monotonous regularity. But I like the hell out of the way this little gun looks. The only thing sticking out of it, the sights stick up a little bit, but the charging handle is similar to, it reminds me of something. I can't think of it. It's, what the heck is it? Anyway, it's round, looks like it's cylindrical, sticks out about maybe half, three-quarters of an inch, it looks like. I can live with that. Nothing on the left side sticking out. The little Picatinny rail in the front only has three notches, three positions on it to put a flashlight or something. I can click on all these things and look at every different angle of this. It looks like there's a thread protector on that muzzle. It looks very much like there's a thread protector on that muzzle, which means that it's got a threaded muzzle. Yep, got to have one of these. So, there you have it. Okay, let's see, not quite break time yet. Let's move along here and look at some of this other stuff. I had some other... What the heck? Oh. Here's a good story. I think we'll talk about this one after the break. We'll spend some time with this. This is a shotgun versus grizzly bear story here. We're going to talk about that. We'll spend some time with that in a minute. Remember the park fire up in Utah? Well, they've come out with a study, with a report here. And they have found that this fire could have been extinguished by the Forest Service. It could have been stopped, but they elected to let it burn. And you remember how bad this fire was. It was catastrophic, only over 100,000 acres of the mountains up by Spanish Fork. This was, it burned most of the month of September. Mountain Shooter, I'm sure you're familiar with it. Lots of people evacuated, homes lost, property owners, ranchers burned out, mountain retreats burned down, all of this stuff, and it was 100% preventable. Pole Creek Fire, not the Park Fire, Pole Creek Fire. And it says, the sign there said, please do not report. Pole Creek Fire, Spanish Fork Ranger District. Lightning caused, reported September 6, 2018. Fire is estimated to be 1/10 of an acre. Fire is located, smoke is visible from there. Please do not repeat the fire, report the fire, and do not extinguish the fire. The area is not closed to recreation, but forest users, please be cautious and avoid the fire area. Our number one priority is to ensure firefighter and public safety. The fire is being managed, and so on and so forth. Fire personnel monitoring fire. Anyway, they as it got away from them, as it started to grow, they had the opportunity to extinguish it. And it said, and there's in quotes here, it says, "Don't keep it lit. Don't keep it lit. Extinguish it." It's a good slogan for billboards and cartoon bears, but it is not sound advice for the decision makers who actually have the power and resources to extinguish wildfires. So there you have it. That was a, we watched that fire burn and was just awestruck at some of the video and stuff. It was an amazing sight. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was awful, not just awesome, but it was awesome to watch, but it was an awful fire. It was tragic, and you can thank your Forest Service for that. Quite a bit more to the story here, but it does a lot of people lost a lot of stuff in that fire. Anyway. All right, well, let's sneak back over here and let's see here. There we go. All right, let me jump off of here, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You know what freedom is. What freedom isn't. It's when you stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you.
Cowboy stand.
No matter how it ends.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we trust you.
And we're back. Okay, we have a story here about, hang on, got incoming. Let's see what it is. It is unimportant right now, so don't worry about that when I get done. We've got some communications nets we're trying to get squared away here in a rather large circle, so we're trying to see what our limits are with the radios. Okay, this guy lives in Canada, and contrary to popular belief, you can have some guns under lots of restrictions in Canada. The shotguns are fairly easy to deal with. So a mama grizzly and some young ones happened in this guy's yard, and he was worried about one of his kids out there, or a grandkid or something. And he hollered and waved his arms and tried to run him off, and that didn't work. And he was trying not to to do anything any more vigorous than that. And the bear acted a little irritated and didn't want to go, so he went inside and got his shotgun. Now, here's where the story starts getting where the guy needs some additional training here. I am a big fan of shotgun for many reasons. I love shotguns. And there's a lot of stuff you can do with them if you know how to work them right and get the right ammo with it. Number 6 birdshot is not the right ammo for a grizzly bear. Let me just throw that out there right now. So this guy went out there with 3 rounds in his shotgun. He had 12 gauge. Had 3 rounds in it. 3 number 6s. Not in this plain old number 6. They call them trap loads in here. I don't know that I've ever seen number 6 trap loads. The trap loads are usually 7.5, 8, or 9, something like that. But he fired 2 of the shells as warning shots. Okay, well, that didn't work. And then he wound up just having 1 left. 1 number 6 target load, or small game load, or whatever it was, versus a grizzly bear and some young ones. So the guy, his wife was filming it. I don't know if she's got the movie rights for it yet, or movie deal for it. He went outside and would run a few steps towards the bear, and once the sow decided to countercharge, he fires at the bear as it gets close and hits her in the front leg. Now, this is
something to remember here. Number 6 shot, 1 shot left. He fires and hits it in the front leg, and the bear goes down. Okay? Okay, this is something to remember. If it's all you have, it bought him a little bit of time. It knocked the bear down, didn't knock her down, but it tripped her up. And that bought him enough time to get into the house. Okay, that's good. But would it have been better, depending on what choke you had in that gun and how far away the bear was, would it not have been? I'm sure he panicked and flinched, you know, and yanked that trigger, and probably the reason he shot in the front leg. It may have saved his life. But the other thing is, depending on the choke and the range, if he had shot it in the face, no, it wouldn't have killed her, and it wouldn't have knocked her down. But it's a possibility it may have put both eyes out. The only thing I can think of is shot right on the end of the nose. Even number six birdshot is charging grizzly bear at close range. That could be a deterrent if it's all you've got. So my suggestion here is don't go out in the yard, number one, with a 12 gauge with three rounds of birdshot. If you got a grizzly bear in your yard, I think this is not a good idea. The second thing is, if you have only three shells, don't waste two of them as a warning shot. You know, I don't know if that's the only gun he had. I don't know why he wasn't wearing his handgun. Well, I do, too. He was in Canada. Maybe one shot for the one warning shot for the sake of the video, just because of the laws about against shooting grizzly bears and whatnot. But not two of them, for sure. I'm not even a big fan of shooting one of them, to tell you the truth. But shooting the leg might have bought him enough time to get in the house. He got in the house. He says that's the last thing he remembers, and I don't know. I expected to read in the story after that that the bear, got a hold of him and put him in the hospital or whatever. But there was nothing else. He said the last thing I remember is that she was coming at me with her mouth open. He said the bear eventually left the property and she seemed no worse for the wear. I later tracked her and her cubs a ways off our acreage. There was no blood, no hair. I know she'll be sore, but maybe she'll think twice about approaching people. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, there's not going to be a charges filed. They watched the video, and this, the video was actually, if the bear left, I wouldn't even have told anybody. The bear left, and then didn't appear to be grievously wounded in any fashion, so I wouldn't even have said anything at all. But he did, and with the help of the video, he said, well, you clearly... within your rights to defend yourself, so you know it's not a problem. But if I, yeah, mountain shooter bears are so cute unless they're mad at you. That's right. Yeah, I'm just and I'm Glock. That's good. Elmer got his gun there. I'm just not a fan of warning shots in most cases. Once in a while, it may be okay, but. It's a waste of ammo, number one. If it doesn't work, it's especially a waste of ammo if it doesn't work. Yeah. So, if it works, fine. If it don't, you wasted ammo. Let's see. I'm going to scroll up here and look at the chat room here. I see what Doc's response here. It says, no accident. It's because of 9mm and NATO standard. I had to scroll up a little bit more and look at Copper's post where he said it's not by accident. Today's case is most popular. Yeah, no, it's not an accident at all. It is because the 9mm is immensely more effective than a lot of people give it credit for. It works pretty well. It's accurate, it's fast, it's flat shooting for a handgun, and ammo is plentiful, it's reasonably priced. I mean, you just can't go wrong with it. And you get something out of a 16-inch barrel like we talked about a while ago, going 1,600 feet a second. That's significant. That's pretty good. It looks like... Doc's not too much opposed to the 9mm there. That's good. Sorry about the dead air there. I was trying to read some of the posts here. uh,
Okay. Let's move. Let's see. And I'm glad we don't give warning shots for people. Why would we for bears? That's right. Well, I'm more opposed to killing a bear than I am people that deserve it. But all right, let's look over here. The caravan's kind of losing steam a little bit. There has been at least, when I posted all this stuff here, there's been at least one death, and it was due to a less lethal round, beanbag or I don't remember what it was, but anyway, it was a rubber bullet. Shot a guy in the head and it killed him. So. And they have pushed through. Now, I don't know, other countries around the world, including Mexico, forever have used lethal force to stop people from coming into their country. This has been going on for a long, long, long time. I'm wondering what exactly has changed, except for the fact that there's more snowflakes and politically correct weenies out there running things, why they haven't been a little bit more assertive with the means to stop these people from crashing down barriers and coming through. People said it's not an invasion, it's just people seeking asylum. Well, they was offered asylum. They were offered a place to stay in Mexico, and they refused it. They wanted to come to America. And when that decision was made, it became an invasion. And so far, President Trump seems to be sticking to his guns, and that's he plans to even put more people. He said maybe as many as 15,000 troops to stop this, that you are not coming into our country. So we'll see what happens. It won't be too much longer, I guess, another 2 or 3 weeks probably before they get close enough to worry about. But a lot of them are changing their mind. Some of them are just, they're tired, they're defeated, and they've just gone home. This is a long hike. They started out, bit off a little more than they could chew, I think. Some of them have decided to take Mexico up on their offer, and they are going to settle in there. But some of them are continuing to push towards the United States. They're tired, they're hungry, they're worn out, they're getting irritable. And I fully suspect that more people are going to die before they get here. Just out of anger and frustration, violence. I mean, not, of course, violence, but Mountain Shooter, no, he wasn't shot in the eye, but it did say that he had grievous head wounds. So I'm not sure exactly where they hit him. All right, I'm gonna have to cut these dead spots out of here. I'm trying to read too much here and not talking. All right, let's move on. FedEx has ended their deal with the NRA. Someone else here, not too long ago, had decided to do the same thing, but they say, I don't know if I agree with it, but they say it's not because of the shooting in Pittsburgh. It just happens to be about that time. It just happened to be about the same time when, who was it? Was it UPS or who was it here 4 or 5 months ago that pulled their ads and stuff from the NRA? And it just happened to be immediately after another shooting of some kind. But the spokesman for FedEx said the decision was not brought on by the shooting in Pittsburgh at the synagogue. Instead, they say it's a decision to end its marketing relationship with the NRA was a result of a review that began months ago. The review showed that members of the group did not bring in enough shipping volume to warrant its participation in the program. So what they were doing, it says more than 100 companies were dropped from the discount program. So the people, including me, it's kind of aggravating when you find out that there's companies out there that can ship ammo to you, you know, 50
a full 1,000-round case of ammo, 50, 60 pounds, for $9.95. Well, the only reason they can do that is because they ship thousands and thousands and thousands of packages a month. And we ship three. So, not 3,000. 3,003 heavy packages. So that if you pay shipping, regular shipping on that full case of ammo, you're looking sometimes at least, depending on how far it's going, at least $20, and sometimes as high as 50 or more to ship it any distance. And that's what I told that lady from Connecticut that got a hold of me after I made the big deal with the Obama sign. And she ordered $600 worth of ammo, and I said, look, lady, there's a store right down the road from you that would be happy to sell you that. She says, I know, but I want to buy it from you. All righty then, it's on its way. So
I don't remember what it cost, but it wasn't cheap. That was back when ammo was, well, ammo wasn't too cheap at that point. It was still kind of high. All right, we still got stories here I haven't done here, so let's look at this one. This was an interesting story. It says, landmark study finds concealed carry does not increase violent crime. I don't know what they spent on this, but they could have just asked me, and I could have said, you know what? Concealed carry does not increase violent crime, and I would have been right. But on October 22nd, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, a new concealed carry-related research undertaken by Dr. Mark Hamill, took it to the Congress of the American College of Surgeons. The key takeaway from this research is that relaxed concealed carry laws has no effect on violent crime rates. Now, I wonder if by no effect, if they're meaning they didn't rise, or no effect meaning they didn't go up or down. Because I know for damn sure there's a few states whose crime rate has gone, violent crime rate has gone down, in the year or so following the passage of their concealed carry law. And Florida was one of those. There were several states actually that once they passed a shall issue concealed weapons law, that their violent crime rate started to go down, some of them pretty significantly. So I think this may only mean that none of them went up. This paper, which was well received, is now available online. Let's see, I'm going to click on this here. It's an important step toward clarifying contradictory finding. I'm going to click on this and see what all is here. And I'm going to post this link for you so that at least those of you in the chat room can check it out. State-level firearm concealed carry legislation and rates of homicide and other violent crime. That sounds like a pretty good story. So I'm going to copy this link here and put it in the chat room for you. For those of you that are listening that are not in the chat room, then you're just going to have to hunt it down yourself, I guess. All right, there you go. Wait a minute, it didn't go. Let me try that again. There it is, okay. All right, there's the story for you. I can get rid of that. No, I'm going to keep that up there. I think I'll read that later. All right, last thing before we go. This was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I kept saving it, and other stuff kept coming up. But here are some brothers in Michigan, two brothers, that are facing nearly $500,000 in fine. This is more of a land rights thing here. They removed more than 1,400 trees from their own 16-acre property without permission. So this was their property. They owned the property. And they removed all these trees. Now what they're going to do with it, I don't have any idea. But they owned the property. didn't get permission, cut the trees down, $500,000 fine, said he removed the trees with the intention of creating a Christmas tree farm. The attorney said the land was filled with invasive plants. This case is about misguided overreach. It is unavoidably about whether people who own property are allowed to use it. We contend the Percy brothers exercised a farming exemption in the local tree removing law to clear the historic pasture behind their business and develop a Christmas tree farm. So they're going ahead with they're planting 2,500 Christmas trees. We've already planted 1,000. But I guess we could get into a big, long discussion about land patent and the patent rights and then all this stuff here. I'm not real up on that. I do know a little bit about it, but not enough to hold an intelligent discussion. So it just floors me that people spend money and buy land or have land passed down through the generations to their family or from their family, and you can't cut trees down on it. And these guys are going to be fined $500,000. They're fighting it, so we'll see where it goes. But the people with the Coalition of Western States are interested in this, even though it's not really a Western state. But
it is west of Maine, so I guess that counts. I don't know. Anyway.
All right. Let's see. I think I've got all my other stories up here that I needed to do.
There's, for those of you that are watching, those of you that know Matt Shea, good friend of mine. He's a great attorney, great friend, remarkable patriot. And he is really being raked over the coals by, I can't go into the whole story of how all this came to be. But one of the things that someone got a hold of and passed on was quite a story that he did, kind of a training, informational story on Christians and righteous wars. And it's all backed up by Scripture. And in fact, there are a great many of these things are actually used in different, war colleges, where they're teaching officers, you know, about war, Sun Tzu. A lot of the Sun Tzu quotes are in this thing. And he's really taking a lot of heat for this. It's nothing new. He's not condoning war. He's saying if something were to happen, will Christians be, righteous in their endeavors? At what point does it become a righteous fight? Or not. And he's really being, so I want everybody to know that's listening here that knows Matt, or at least that knows me, may know of Matt. I want you to know that it is not, absolutely is not, what it sounds like on Facebook. There are some people that are attacking him and using half-truths and partial quotes and stuff like that to make it sound like it's a whole lot worse than it really is. So understand that Matt is probably one of the, if not the most hardcore, dedicated patriot that you have ever known or ever met in your life. He's, whatever they're trying to do to him there, definitely not fair. Great, I screwed that up. Look at me go. Let's try that again. Okay, that looks better. Let's try that. All right, that's more better. All right, I'm going to scoot out of here. We have
Liberty Lounge coming up Friday. I've got a busy schedule coming up Friday, but I have every intention of being here and being here on time and having a remarkable 2 hours of fun-filled music and time here. So hopefully you guys can join me for that. But right now, I think what I'm going to do, if I can keep talking and click all the right buttons, I'm going to get on off of here And I will see you guys Friday. I appreciate you joining me like I always do. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
Tucker Ball.